Okay, we'd like to welcome everybody here. this class is a life of worship. And kind of the first things that we want to do is actually define what a lifestyle of worship is. And after that, kind of give some ideas of how we can bring it into our family, how we can take it into our workplaces, just in our relationships with our friends. Worship isn't just an activity that we do on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or at our small groups or anything like that. It's not a single event. It is, like we said, a lifestyle. It involves everything that we do and everything that we really are. If somebody turned to 1 Corinthians 10, and is it just 31?
Yes.
Yeah. If you read 10:31, 1 Corinthians 10:31.
So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Why do you think Paul uses eating and drinking to describe worship, to describe something that brings glory to God?
It's something everybody does.
Something that everybody does, yes.
It's usually a social atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a lot of work. You don't have to make it a big ordeal.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting on this side of the room to throw something out. Yeah.
I also kind of get an idea of glory to God is not to be gluttonous, like, you know, eating and drinking to over excess. It's saying you do it to the glory of God, it's doing it with a proper respect of, you know, it's while eating, you don't need to be overeating. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. That's right. You know, eating and drinking is something that, you know, is not typically thought of as a way to glorify God. It's kind of something that's done every day, kind of something that's more necessary to live, to survive. No, that's fine. Just leave them.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
It's crap.
That keeps you from singing along.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's something that, like we said, everybody does. It's something that's done every day. It's done multiple times a day. It's just kind of a way to show us that things that we do in our everyday lives that we might not be considered as worship to God is actually worship. I want to describe, there's three different categories that fit into this and that could help us determine the things that we do, the different things that we do throughout the day that actually do give glory to God and actually show that we are trying to worship Him. Here there's three different aspects, three different directions of worship. First we have upward, that's anything that's done directly towards God. Inward is more what you do on the inside in your heart whenever there's nobody watching. And outward is more honoring God by the actions that you do. Start with the inward worship. It's, personally, I think it's the most important, and it's also the most difficult to do. Somebody turn to Psalms 51 and read 16 and 17.
Psalm 51?
Yes, 51, 16 and 17.
You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your goodness, pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem.
So it says, you know, God wants a broken and contrite heart. It says you doesn't take delight in the sacrifices if your heart's not in it. So the inward style of worship, I think, is the most difficult to do, because you can kind of fake what goes on the outside. Like you can go through the motions, but if your hearts are purely devoted to Him, then it's going to affect how you behave. It's going to affect how you go through your everyday lives. You know, we have this verse that deals with the heart. There's several other verses in the Bible that talk about the importance of having your heart in it, having your heart involved in everything that you do. Is there what are some of those examples that you can think of?
You know, this verse right here, this chapter is talking about David's repentance after Nathan called him on being with Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now he's saying, create in me a pure heart, of God. And, yeah, you know, you can throw all the goats you want up on the altar, but you know, without the heart change, he knows it's all meaningless. And that's what he's getting into, just like you say, that inward communion, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, first it takes a process of admitting that you've been wrong or that you've sinned against God. Like we've agreed with something we haven't trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to go, just like you would with your parents, and say, I'm so sorry for hitting my brother or sister. Mm-hmm. You have to go to God and say, I'm so sorry I didn't trust you, or I'm so sorry I doubted, or, you know, whatever. And then your heart is open for that forgiveness. And you can move on.
Any other verses that deal with the heart that you can think of?
Clean my heart, by the Lord, but making me a pure and clean heart.
Mm-hmm. There's one in Mark 12, 28. You can read that one real quick. And turning there's, you know, 2 Chronicles 16:9, where it has God searching the entire earth for hearts that are fully devoted to him. Mm-hmm. Mark 12:28 says, it's actually not right.
On the 30. Love the heart. Love
yeah.
The Lord your God.
That's
your
it.
Heart, so close.
Whoever typed these notes
it's
out must have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the stuff that's in red. That's the important stuff. You want to read that. Yeah. So Mark 12:28 is not right. Mark 12:30. Read that again.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
So like we say, there's several different verses like that one that says, love your Lord with all your heart. It's saying, you know, don't give yourself partially to him. And, you know, Revelation 3:16, you know, he's talking to the different churches and he says, because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. The actual word that's used there is to not spit out. It's to vomit violently. And so that's how much God does not accept and God detests worship that doesn't have the heart in it. You know, there's, you know, if you look in Amos 5:21-23, you know, it talks there about, you know, God actually refusing worship.
Uncommitted.
Yeah. Refusing uncommitted worship. And it's saying that without the commitment of the heart, none of the other aspects of worship matter. That's why it's the most important. That's why it's the most difficult. You know, Matthew West has a song that says, you know, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me.
Could you read this one? I like Proverbs 4:23 because it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I mean, it's not.
What's that one?
Proverbs 4:23.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about inward worship being the most important. It's all of our private thoughts. It's all of the desires that we have in our heart. It's pretty much the raw essence of who we are that's inside. The core structure of everything that we are created from, the core structure of everything that we are, our being, and that kind of thing. That's why it's the most important.
I think, did you talk about accountability?
No.
I think what also kind of makes it more difficult is there is no accountability. You have nobody else knows your innermost thoughts. And so it is strictly based off of your core ethics and your desires and your morals. There's nobody else to hold you accountable to where your heart is.
I want to go ahead and move on to the outward worship. Outward worship is more your relationships with other people. Whether it be, you know, acts of service, whether it's giving your testimony to somebody, trying to help somebody, to support somebody else. You know, the verse in the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's talking about the outward form of worship. You know, I have these examples. What are other ways that we can outwardly worship God? Coming to church, being with the people that are here.
Serving or helping others.
Mm-hmm.
Mission trips.
Definitely.
So if you have a private prayer for somebody else, is it both inward and outward?
It's a tricky one.
Yes.
Help them both?
Yes. It's really interesting because...
Double check mark?
Double check mark. It's really interesting because you have inward, outward, and upward. And you can have...
They can blend.
They can blend over. You can have outward worship with upward worship. And you can have inward with outward and with upward. But you can't have upward without the inward. Because it's not accepted. It's not true.
And you can have outward but not have inward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, like we said, without the inward worship, everything else doesn't really matter because it's not really who you are. So, you know, that's why, get back to that's why inward is so awesome. You know, I went to a men's conference at the Hills, and I don't know if y'all know Bob Goff. He wrote a book called Love Does, and I honestly have not had the opportunity to read it. But he was telling stories that he has inside his book, and it's going to be an amazing book. I really can't wait. Everybody that has read it said that however he is on stage is exactly how he is in the book, and he is a phenomenal speaker. And one of the things that he said was, and I think all parents can kind of attest to this as well, he said, the nicest thing that you can do for me is to do something nice for my kids. You know, I feel like that's how God feels about us. So if we want to do something nice for God, do something nice for his children. That is what I believe is a true form of the outward style of worship. We can go ahead and move on to the upward worship. I can give you an example of that. I said that's the easiest form of worship. Anything that's done directly towards a person. So if you want to go and say, Ross, I think you're an amazing worship leader. You know, your song selection this morning was great. Y'all can keep adding if you want.
That's that joke part you're waiting for.
No. Now, this one actually went over well last week. The bad joke was at the beginning. And I'll cut this one out too. No, but that's an easy form because, like we said, it's something easy to fake. You can come up to me and say, you know, you're a great person. I really enjoy being with you. I really enjoy your friendship. And then walk away and be thinking, man, I cannot stand that guy. That's the inward part. You know, that's what you're truly believing. The outward part doesn't matter. It's easy to fake. There are several different aspects of outward worship as well. You have the vocal.
Upward.
Yeah.
Upward.
That's. I don't read my notes very well. There's several different aspects of the upward worship. You have vocal, which is, you know, sharing your testimony, speaking, singing, visible, kneeling, raising your hands, that kind of thing. I lost my train of thought. I apologize. So we have those different aspects of the upward worship that we can go through. You know, we spent some time actually defining what worship is and when it is done. If you ask yourself three questions, that can actually define who you are and what truly make up your worship as a lifestyle. If you ask yourself who you are, and these are things that you have to be honest with yourself about. Because if you're not honest with yourself about these things, then you know, you can just end up going through the motions and it doesn't matter. You have to be honest about who you are. You have to be honest with yourself about where you are and what you want. If you can ask yourself these three questions and answer those honestly, then you can kind of define what your lifestyle of worship can be. Turn to 2 Chronicles 20. I need somebody to read 1 through 13. And then we'll finish up the chapter with somebody else.
After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Midianites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built it a sanctuary for your name, saying, If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade before they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them, and they did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but all our eyes are upon you.
And somebody read 13 through 23.
All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mataniah, a Levite, a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge, in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Kohurites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground.
That's good. Thank you. We talk about somebody that knew what a lifestyle of worship was and how important that was. It was Jehoshaphat in this story. He gets the news that there's, you know, a huge, vast, mighty army that's going to come up and rise against him. And, you know, the first thing he does is call a prayer meeting. He calls all of his family in. He knows that worship as a lifestyle is not only important, but worship as a family is important. And so he calls everybody together and they pray, they sing praises to God, and God gives them the answer. He gives them the victory. He tells them that they're not going to have to do anything but stand there and watch. And so the next morning, Jehoshaphat tells all the people that are worshipers, not the army. He doesn't send the army out to go first. He sends out the worshipers first because he was told that God's going to give you the glory. And so his first reaction was to give the glory. God was going to give you the war. So his first reaction was to give the glory back to God. So he sent his worshipers out in front because he knew that worshiping God was the absolute most important thing. What are ways that we can extend this kind of lifestyle of worship into our families?
I think teaching gratitude is something our society isn't necessarily do a lot. You know, our kids just even being thankful for food and water and shelter, mm-hmm. and being grateful and praising God for what He's blessed us with today, because you know we're not promised it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we stop enough and give thanks.
Well, I think we also dangerously bring a lot of praise to ourselves, our you know, individuals, and as parents, we do that as kids, and we praise our kids a lot, and there's a lot of power in that. But the idea of constantly working with where that gift, you know, where that comes from, you know, whether they did great on a test or, you know, in a sporting event or whatever, trying to reinforce in the kids that God gets the praise for that, and give, you know, redirecting it to the right location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I heard something on the radio this past week, and I was they're saying that we're starting to our young kids in real young age, if they're real good for it, we're starting to enable them to say, "You're good, you're good, you can do the thing, you can break the rule." And as you go into high school, you get more praise. Then in your college, and you give it more leeway. Then when you become a professional, you see what happens to professionals. They get, you see some abuse of drugs, different problems. And we all say, why is it happening? But if we had said, you're good, but why are you good? Because of not because of your own skill. You got, you know, we don't give back to who really is going that way. We enable them to say, it's because of me, rather than saying there are others helping you. God helped you.
Yeah.
And then that way you won't get kids out of control.
Mm-hmm. End up bringing, like you said, the glory to yourself instead of trying to give the glory back to God who gave you everything that you have. That's good. The inward, outward, upward comes from here. It's, you know, it's a study devotional guide that's just pure praise, and it kind of gets into a lot more detail of making your life an actual life of worship. And that's where some of that came from. Go ahead.
A couple of examples. We were kind of talking about how to bring the worship lifestyle just into your lives with your family. Obviously, if you have young kids, it's going to be different than if your kids are grown around the house or if you don't have kids. But one of my absolute favorite things that I kind of feel like ties all of this together are a couple of different things. And it's number one, if your priority really is God, if you put God in the life of worship in your daily lives as your first priority, all of these tend to fall into place more. And the second part is, I feel like the best way to do all of it, and I'll give some specific examples, but is an example, being an example. One of my favorite quotes, which I'm sure y'all have heard it at some point, is preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. And I kind of find that that's too ironic for my life because I have a lot of words. But so much easier as an example, for example, for outward. This is one of our absolute favorite books that Ross goes through most of the time with Brooks. And we found that actually we attended a Christmas program at another church and they offered that all to the guests. And we thought that was pretty neat. It's just a storybook for children, but it's got like more realistic pictures. It's a little bit older. So maybe like babies, obviously it's not as good for, but at the very end, they always have like a message from God. And it talks about like the point of the story. I think that's kind of obviously an easy way. If you don't have kids, to read stuff like that, even in your marriage, being able to sit down and pray together as a couple, or if you live with a family member, being able to sit down and have a quick devo at night or something like that. Service projects, obviously, especially with your kids. I think it was, I can't remember who in our small group the other day, Rich Savage, I think was the one that was talking about it, how important even chores around your house are for your kids. Cause it starts teaching them that act of service and that act of, getting out there, but, service projects. And another outward that I think is kind of interesting. When I was in, high school, one of my dearest friends that was in a band with us, we went on a couple of band trips and, she was a very devout Christian. And what we would always do when we would go to restaurants, anytime I sat with her, she would ask the waiter right before they took our drink order or whatever, we're about to pray for our meal. Is there any prayer request you might have? And I always thought like it caught me off guard the first time she did it, made me uncomfortable. But what's interesting, because she did that, I thought I could do that. That's so simple. So I've done it a few times through college. And then even then, some of my dearest friends, I noticed when we go out to eat, they would start doing it. So it's just kind of like that chain pay it forward thing. And what's interesting, and we haven't done it in a long time, but Ross has done it a few times since last class, because we talked about it and remembered about it again.
Last week, I asked the waiter, you know, if he had any prayer requests. He said, you know, actually, yeah, my cat has a tumor and I'm really worried about him.
And I think it's interesting. I have never seen anyone decline it ever since I have ever been around someone or done it myself. Nobody has ever said, oh, no, I'm good. There's always been a prayer request. And that's, I think, one of the easiest outward things to do. And then also for me, I'm sometimes have to have my list because I forget about prayer requests I'm supposed to be having. But right then and there, you're about to pray, you do it, you remember it, and it's in your brain already. A couple of good upwards, I feel like, is always like we have kind of started transitioning to always having our car on like KLTY or Air One. Is that one? I can't even remember the numbers or the names of them, but any kind of Christian radio station, because if you have children in the car, I know for Brooks, he'll randomly bust out in like 10,000 reasons or something later in the day. Because he hears it. Yeah. And, or if not, he will randomly bust out because he's been listening to it and then somebody else hears it. And then it's funny, my other statistic about praying together, this is also an upward. This kind of goes outward and upward. We took a marriage course, Dynamic Marriage, which if you've ever had a chance or are interested ever, it's a phenomenal 8-week intense course, and the homework is not fun like go on dates. I just say that little misconception there for me, but it was phenomenal. So we took it about a year ago, actually right out a year ago, and the whole, I'm not going to try to ruin the class for you, but one of the whole main points is how important prayer is with your family, and not just your family, but with your marriage. And I think it's kind of interesting that the divorce rate, obviously, in America is about 50% for marriages. But did you know the divorce rate and people that say they actively, regularly pray together is only one in every 1,164 marriages? Divorce that say they actively pray together. That's amazing to me. I don't do math, but that is a very big increase or decrease. But anyway, so, and I kind of think it's funny because we have prayed together our whole marriage, but never as regularly as we should have. And since that class, we have done it. And it has been amazing what the difference it just is on your overall attitude. And I think part of that is seeing your spouse or your family or your kids' innermost desires. And you get to hear that inward part of them and get to know them on a little bit more of an intimate level. some other inward things that we like, being an example just to your kids, because your kids do see your true heart. I think there is, and for family members, sorry, I'm so directed towards kids, but those of you that kids are already older or gone or don't have any. The other thing is too, I kind of think there's something to having a level of transparency. We have worked in our lives on, a lot the past year, with levels of honesty and openness, and even for our kids, but also like my relationship with my mom and my relationship with my coworkers, just having that level of transparency, allowing them to see a little bit more into your heart and get to know that inward portion as well. Having your own Bible study, taking your God time every day. Those are some good inwards. You know, going on camps, going to camps and retreats when I was a teenager was always actually a phenomenal form of inward for me. And obviously it had some upward and outward components as well, but it always helped me keep spiritually on track and focus. That's pretty much it for me.
Anybody has any final thoughts?
Good, I like it. I can explain that to my kids, inward, outward, upward.
Yeah.
It simplifies it.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a Pure Praise for Teens that I went through some of it with the teens about a year and a half ago. So I don't think Miranda was in there yet.
Okay.
But it's a really good study.
And for new believers, too, who don't know where to start or what to do, mm-hmm. that's kind of an easy thing about, you know, you can do some things inward.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Because when I think of life of worship, before we taught this class, I just really, or before he talked to me about inward, outward, upward a long time ago, but I thought about walking around singing praises to God all day. And that's really not awesome. Necessarily, that is awesome. Sorry. Yeah. But that really isn't how it has to be. So I think it's kind of interesting. It puts a really good spin and take on how you can eat food by glorifying God by, you know, serving other people before you serve yourself, you know.
And you don't have to be a missionary in Africa.
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate everybody being here. We actually have enough time that we can actually say a prayer before we head out. Ryan, do you mind closing us out in prayer?
Sure will.